good, everybody? It's your boy Sky here with another episode of Beneath the Frozen Sea, the Davy Jones LockerRoom.com podcast covering the Seattle Kraken. And boy, what a week they have ahead of them. But before we talk about the week ahead, we got to talk about the week behind, because it was huge in helping determine the long-term health of what this team needs to be. It was actually a pretty solid week, all things considered. They beat the Boston Bruins in a shootout, and obviously this was going to be a tough test, and it was. David Pastrnak was a nightmare. Jordan Eberle and Vince Dunn were absolutely lights out. Oliver Bjorkstrand got his 14th goal of the season. And then they went to the shootout. Kyler Yamamoto scored the only goal in that period. It was a good win there. It was actually a season series sweep of the Boston Bruins. Not a whole lot of teams that can say that they've done that. They played an actually pretty strong game, and that was a huge, huge game for Philip Grubauer, of all people. We'll talk about Grubauer's play a little later. Let's talk about the rest of the week. They took on a flagging Penguin squad, and they shut them out. Grubauer had a 2-0 shutout. That was incredible. 33 saves. And even better, he got goal support from Ollie Bjorkstrand and Alex Wennberg, guys who have been huge this week. Then all the fun stopped on Saturday as the Edmonton Oilers completed their season sweep of the Seattle Kraken in a tighter game than I think anyone could have ever imagined. I think that's just been the discussion of the season series against the Oilers. The Kraken are in the mix, with the exception of the first game, but they're never really able to overcome. And they played a really tight game, like a really, really tight game. Shots on goal in this game are actually super, super, super close. Like, let me pull this up here. 9 shots apiece first period, 8-7 shots in the second period, 7-9 shots in the third period. That's a tight game. It's a tight game. The difference was finish. And unfortunately, when you're taking on the Oilers, if there's nothing else you can say about them, they've got finishers. And right now, the Kraken don't. It stinks, because they've played good enough games to actively beat the Oilers. They just don't have the goal support to make it happen. And really, that's just been the entire season, hasn't it? They get close. They play a good game, but they don't have finish. And if you don't have finish, you can't get anywhere. And that's put them in the position that they're in. They're not awful, but they're not playoff contenders. And now we're at the week of the trade deadline. The evaluation period has come and gone, and it looks like that the Kraken are not going to make it. Admittedly, some of that isn't their fault. Both teams in the wild card have 72 points, and the Nashville Predators are on an 8-game win streak. They are very comfortably in a playoff spot, no matter what the LA Kings do to jeopardize it. The bigger issue is that you need 10 points to even match them, and you've got to assume that the Preds and the Kings lose games from here to the end of the week. Oh yeah, and the Calgary Flames, who have been on an absolute heater, are also charging up the standings. Now, if they win tonight, that's huge. But still, their chances are pretty slim. And that has to change the way that Ron Francis is looking at this team. He has a lot of big decisions to make about this team, and you gotta wonder whether or not he's starting to take more permissive calls, more permissive trade ideas, given the way that the market's shaken out, which, as per usual, unfortunately doesn't seem to be terribly exciting. But still, there are a lot of names on this roster that need answers to longer-term concerns. Jordan Eberle wants to stay. I think he should. He has played very well for the Kraken. What is a good amount of money for a guy his age? Wennberg is heating up. Do you keep him? He's a $4.5 million center, and he's 29. What happens after age 30 with him? Do you keep Tomáš Tatar? What about Justin Schultz? There's a lot of interesting questions that need answers. Frankly, some of these guys have a lot of sneaky value if you're willing to sell them. Ron's in a tough spot, and if he really wants a good look at what this team is, look no further than tonight and the rest of the week, because this week sucks. This week sucks a lot. To start out with, you're on a back-to-back. That's Monday and Tuesday that you have to play away from home, and it's against two teams that are white-hot and competing? I mean, the Jets are competing. The Jets are absolutely competing. They are going to be in the Western Conference picture for as long as they want to be. It's the Flames that don't make any sense to me. Because they're selling. They've already sold. They've already traded Chris Tanev to Dallas for a prospect and a couple of picks. They traded Elias Lindholm in January for Andre Kuzmenko to a hated rival. They want out of these contracts. They want out of these contracts badly. And so naturally, they're on a 5-game win streak and are likely to overtake the Kings if the Kings keep losing like they do. These are tough matchups now. These are really tough matchups. Every point matters. And the Flames, who lost a lot of talent through these trades, seem to only be getting better and better. And they need to counteract that quickly if they want a chance at the playoffs. It's a slim chance, but losing tonight basically makes it impossible. And if you do that, you have to play the Jets. And probably one of the best goaltenders in the league as of right now. And that's not even getting to the murderer's row of forward talent that they have to play, such as guys like Mark Scheifele, Sean Monahan, who has massively, massively come back into his own. Kyle Connor, Nikolai Ehlers, you know, Niederreiter for some reason. All of them killers. And you gotta play them twice this week. You gotta play them after you play the Flames. So what on earth do you do here other than your best? Because this is a rough bit of scheduling. But you gotta win it. If you wanna make the playoffs, you gotta win it. And it starts tonight with the Flames. As for how you beat them, I think the answer has been pretty well proven throughout this year. They don't really have a goaltender that I would say is trustworthy. Jacob Markstrom has gotten better, but he hasn't gotten quite to the point where he is as good as he could be. He's at a .914 save percentage on the year through 38 starts. It's all right, but it's a little below league average right now. And if they decide to play Dan Vladar, you have absolutely no excuse. He's got an .890 save percentage on 17 games started. You gotta beat them if he plays, because he is not good enough right now. As NHL Edge has shown, the Flames, when they give up the net front, tend to give up goals. So you have to attack the net. You have to attack the net front. You have to get into net front scrambles. You have to create opportunities through dirty goals. You have to take dirty shots. You have to take very in tight shots with them. And you've got to just move out that defense. You've got to move them around so that they can't quite box you to the outside. The games on this streak that they've played have not made the Flames look dominant. They just look like they've been getting finish. A lot of 5-3 games, 2-4 games, that sort of thing. Now, it's not going to happen every shift, but it's a blueprint to beat them. It's a well-proven blueprint, too. That requires your forwards to actually finish. Because they can. The issue is whether or not they can execute. Because if you lose tonight, you gotta go to Winnipeg, and Winnipeg is a challenge. Oh my god, the Winnipeg Jets are an absolute nightmare right now. It's hard to think of something that they don't do categorically well. They're in the top 10 in just about every possession metric I can find. And this is the first game of two that you play this week against them. The second one being on Friday, which is the trade deadline. And they are probably going to try to get better. All throughout this week, they are likely calling teams looking for the one or two guys who look at Manitoba in spring and go, yeah, I could spend a month and a half there. You know, psychopaths. So for God's sake, if you want to set the tone for the rest of this week, if you really want these last few questions on your evaluation to make you look good, you better beat the Flames, because you got to get right back on that bus and head on out to Manitoba. This is why these early season losing streaks can be disastrous down the road. If they had broken that November losing streak earlier, they probably wouldn't even be in this position. But here we are. So better beat the Flames. Anyway, the Flames game, first of the back-to-back, is at 6:30 p.m. PT. Let's see how they do. But if you're looking for good news in the Kraken organization, you probably want to look away from the NHL team and look to their prospects, because as always, the future is also bright. For one thing, Shane Wright's back! After a gigantic gigantic hit against the San Jose Barracuda set him day to day, and he came back, and right off the bat, he had a goal. He was right in the thick of things too, so it's clear he wasn't really concerned about contact. Their weekend even included a revenge game over the Barracuda in a 3-2 shootout win. Great stuff for them. Also good on Devin Shore for finishing things out, and had a pretty solid game from the looks of it. Aleš Steska had 30 saves in a 32-shot game. It's great to have Wright back. He's going to have to put in a little extra effort to beat Max McCormick in the scoring race. He was previously neck and neck with him, but the injury allowed Max McCormick some extra time. He has 24 goals, and with Shane Wright's goal over the weekend, he has 19 now. And given that they're playing the San Diego Gulls, who are at the very bottom of the AHL Pacific Division, I think he will have plenty of opportunity to play catch-up. And we, the viewing audience, will have to figure out how to watch the AHL playoffs, because the Firebirds are doing a hell of a lot better than the main club right now. Though we may not have to worry about it too much longer, because Alex Wennberg is out of the lineup tonight for trade-related reasons. A spot in Seattle may be opening up for him? Who's to say? All I can say right now is keep up the good work, and go Firebirds go! And in junior, oh buddy! These youths! I'm talking, of course, about Jagr Furkus, who over the weekend got their 100th points! Furkus got to the triple digits first over last weekend. He played an absolute shelling of the Spokane Chiefs. And then this weekend played an absolute barn burner in Everett, Washington with the Silver Tips. He has a nice round 108 points in 56 games. Good for him. Out east, it looked like David Goyette was going to join him, but unfortunately, he is currently sat at 98 points with the Sudbury Wolves in the OHL. One interesting bit of the planets aligning is that Carson Rakoff and Jagr Furkus, even though they were miles apart, both scored their 50th goal of the season on the same day. Carson Rakoff, of course, is playing with the Kitchener Rangers, and he has 87 points in 52 games. For international prospects, Yanni Niemann is kind of going off right now. He's on loan to Ilves from... Ilves? Normally when this kind of thing happens, there's another team listed on Elite Prospects, but it doesn't really show another team, so I am forced to believe that Ilves loaned Yanni Niemann to themselves. Which is both objectively funny and very strange. Either way, that loan seems to be working out for him, because he's doing really, really well. I know it can be really tough playing for the same team you've always been playing for, but he seems to have overcome that particular concern when now that he has 38 points in 46 games against grown-ass men. Of course, that isn't saying much considering that Yanni Niemann is 6'4". It's gotta be a little disheartening to play your entire career in the Finnish leagues and then just see these 19-year-old monster men come out of the woodwork. It really makes you prioritize what you actually value in your career. And to round things out, Oscar Fisker Mulgaard of HV71 in the Swedish league has a respectable 20 points, not bad for a 20-year-old on a bad team. Personally, I'm hoping he gets to go to Prague for the 2024 IIHF World Championships. I was about to say that Denmark, generally speaking, doesn't have a great shot at making it through their group this year, as it has Switzerland, Finland, Czechia, and Canada in it. But they also have Austria and Great Britain, so anything is possible. And I think that Mulgaard would be a great injection of youth into a team that badly needs to justify its existence. Oh yeah, and one last prospect I want to highlight is Caden Hamill, who was part of that barn burner with Jagr Furkus and the Moose Jaw Warriors over in Everett. He contributed a key assist and a goal to an absolutely absurd game against the Moose Jaw Warriors. It ended 8-7 in the shootout, as the Warriors prevailed at Angel of the Winds Arena. It's a very, very great week for Kraken prospects, which is making the struggles of the team just hurt a little bit less. Moving on to general NHL news, obviously I touched on the fact that the Calgary Flames are selling hardcore, and they continued it on with the Chris Tanev trade, and tonight the Kraken have entered the arena with Alex Wennberg out of morning skate and not available for tonight's game against the Flames due to trade-related issues. Chris Johnston of Sportsnet says that the New York Rangers and the Avs have shown interest, but also Boston has checked in as well. If they are trading with the Rangers, I definitely want Kaapo Kakko back. He hasn't really turned into the kind of goal scorer that you'd expect, but he is an amazing puck possessor. He's actually pretty solid at creating assists, and frankly, I feel like that's the kind of player that you need to get if teams are starting to lose faith in their prospects. Someone who could very easily turn into an absolute nightmare if given the right development environment, and it seems like the Kraken are a great development environment. As for who makes sense for the Avs, it's a little harder to gauge. They do desperately need center help, but who you get back is always the big question. I know there are two players I definitely don't want to see in a Kraken uniform, but I admit that that's a personal bias. Those being Chris Wagner and Jack Johnson, who are very nice guys, but unfortunately terrible at getting, receiving, or having the puck. If you're looking for anything back, maybe you could get something out of someone like, say, Jonathan Drouin or Ryan Johansson, but it's hard to say exactly what they're targeting in that back beyond, say, a pick. After all, Colorado has a premium of those, but they still have their first rounder. If they decided to go win now mode, they may be willing to part with that. As for Boston checking in, I'm gonna be real with you, having unique insight into the matter. You probably only really want Jake DeBrusque from them, and even then, everything else would not be worth it. They just don't have anything really right now after years of success. As such, they just don't have anything to really use to get back into the race. They'll still probably make the playoffs, though. That's nice. But we will keep monitoring the situation, and if the Kraken find a home for Wennberg, I will put up an emergency bonus episode to discuss it. Anyway, in larger NHL trade deadline news, it hasn't been a whole lot of discussion. Hasn't really been a whole lot of movement. So far, there's been some trades here and there, like the Winnipeg Jets have Sean Monahan from the Montreal Canadiens for a first-round pick. Emil Bemström is now a Pittsburgh Penguin after a trade from the Columbus Blue Jackets, the Chris Tanev trade, the Toronto Maple Leafs reacquired Ilya Lyubushkin in a three-team trade with the Ducks and the Canes. Toronto moved around a bunch of picks and a bunch of prospects, and I think they're just trying to shore up their blue line for the playoffs. A little strange you didn't keep him. And the most recent one was Curtis McDermid coming from the Colorado Avalanche to the New Jersey Devils in exchange for Zachar Bartakov and a 7th-round pick. So yeah, it's been very, very quiet so far. Kind of disappointing unless they're all trying to get in at the deadline itself. It'll make Friday an absolute nightmare. Anyway, the big thing that's being discussed around the league is the fact that a number of teams are on big, long streaks. You got Florida on a 4-game heater. You've got the New York Islanders on a 3-game heater. You've got the Nashville Predators on an 8-game heater that is keeping the Seattle Kraken out of the playoffs. God dang it. And then you've got the Oilers and the Flames on similar heaters as well. It's really starting to feel like all of these games are ramping up, and it really starts to feel like all of these teams are trying to show that they are worth something coming into the trade deadline. It's just a shame that the Seattle Kraken don't feel interested in joining them so far. And the final thing I want to discuss before we leave is something that happens specifically during Kraken games, but it's not anything that happens on the ice. No, it's what happens after play has finished and there is a lull in the game, and they want to keep up the excitement, keep the energy in the building going, and so they have a DJ. Or they did have a DJ, and now they don't. Over on Twitter.gov, DJ Trunks, one of the in-house DJs for Climate Pledge Arena, announced that the Oilers game was going to be the last game, as far as he knew, due to the powers that be stating that they don't believe that he's needed. He's not gone from Climate Pledge entirely. The Seattle Storm are still going to happily have him on their campaign to reclaim the WNBA championship. fans are not happy with this decision, and I don't blame them. DJ Trunks has been a huge part of this organization from day one, and he's had such an impact on getting people who generally don't look like your average hockey fan, which is to say, like a white guy, to come in and enjoy this sport. Now granted, this is nothing to take away from the other DJs, but Trunks has been a huge part of the Kraken in-arena experience. It's just a shame to send him off like that. At least let him finish the season. I personally disagree with the decision entirely. I think he's a great DJ, and I think they should invite him back. There's just no reason to do this and piss off fans who are already a little grumpy because of the way that the team's playing. If this is really it, and I really, really hope it isn't, I genuinely wish Trunks the best. He was a fantastic DJ, and he will be very well loved with Seattle Storm fans. And hey, if you want to force their hands, maybe go see a Storm game or two, and really let CPA know that he should be a year-round attraction. Until then, see ya, Space Cowboy. And on that note, I need to put up the game thread for tonight's game against the Flames, so I think I'm going to call it there. After all, I've probably got a Wennberg trade announcement in my near future to discuss, and a trade deadline to recap once that's over with. And if you want to follow along, you can find Beneath the Frozen Sea wherever you get your podcasts. I know most of you get them on Apple Podcasts. It's just nice to let other people know that they're there. And of course, you can follow our written content over at DavyJonesLockerRoom.com. And you can find us on all major social media sites and in the Fediverse itself on Blue Sky and Threads. You can find us on all of those platforms at DavyJonesLR. With nothing else to say, my name is Sky. Thank you very much for listening. Keep calm and post Zoidberg when we win. And as always, go Kraken!